Good afternoon, Wrangell. You're listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1:01. We have our guest, Cody Angerman, in the studio today. He's the Wrangell Wolves JV and varsity boys coach. You can call in anytime during this program to ask a question or just say hi. That number is 874-2345. Cody, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. So before we get into it, I just want to remind everybody that we were going to have Lori come in today, but she couldn't make it. So maybe we'll get her in later, but that means we can focus on you and your boys.
Yeah, great.
Let's just get it out of the way. Last weekend,
it was rough. It's never easy having two losses. I just did a little interview with Caleb down at the Sentinel too, and I kind of told him though, the one thing about losses like that too is you kind of almost learn more from losing than you do winning a lot of the times. Though you never want to take two losses, there's a lot of good game tape to watch and a lot of things that you can pick up on. We already talked about quite a few of those things, Coach Gablehouse and I, and just things to kind of put in our back pocket for the future when we play Metlakatla again. But it's, after the second night, it's just time to move on and focus on Petersburg. And so that's what we're going to do. We have a few more practices and obviously homecoming this weekend, and hopefully everybody can come out and support. It's always a pretty big rivalry between us and Petersburg, obviously. So we're ready for them. We know they're going to be tough. They just beat Haynes a couple times this weekend pretty handily. So we really got to be ready and on our A game. And I think as long as we do that, we can come out with a couple wins.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you know about Petersburg?
Well, I know they only lost a couple guys last year. A couple key players, but Petersburg's always tough. Coach Brock, he always does a really good job preparing his kids. They usually play pretty tough defense. They have some young guys that are pretty good and a couple guys maybe 6'5", 6'6"-ish. So you kind of have your hands full every time you face Petersburg just because of their size. But they're always ready to go. And especially, again, they know these are big games and any of the conference games are big. And our records are pretty similar right now. So these are very, very important games for both of us conference-wise. So,
yep. So for the conference season right now, you've got 3 wins and 3 losses.
Yeah, I believe so. Okay. So it's funny because I was talking to Coach Stokes after the first night of the games, and we were kind of just going over the previous games with like Haynes. And one thing we were talking about there is you never really know what's going to happen. And up in Haynes, the first night, we pretty much had the game in control for the most part and then kind of gave it away at the end. And they hit some tough shots, and kudos to them. But we kind of lost a game the first night that we should have won. Well, then the second night, kind of the opposite thing happened where we kind of won a game that we probably shouldn't have won. So those are kind of the things that you face when you're playing basketball, coaching basketball, just around it. And Metlakatla, kind of the same thing. The second night, obviously, wasn't our best night, I don't think, playing and shooting. But the first night, we played a pretty tough game. And then we just didn't really hold on to the lead. But, just kind of the way basketball goes sometimes, I guess. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe it. And it's high school basketball. I can only imagine what those kids are going through.
Right. Well, and it's like, you always see it differently, than either players or fans for that matter. I mean, standing on the sideline, obviously, I'm, yelling at the refs trying to get every call. And, everything to me that the opposing team does is a travel or a double dribble or whatever they did is wrong. And I think it's like that for every coach. But, I think I've gotten better this year as far as laying off. The refs a little bit more.
Are you supposed to lay off?
Well, I try not to, but I'm more into the schmoozing now than I am, getting after them. I think it might give you a little bit of more help. So,
understood. Yeah, sugar versus vinegar.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Then just tell us a little bit more about the season. So we've played three games. Well, we've played three teams. How many more games do we have in the season? When are regionals? And what does it take to get to state?
Well, I'm just going to say I'm pretty terrible about schedules when I don't have it in front of me. But, you know, it's still pretty early in our season. And we have, you know, we already played Haynes away. It's the only away games we played other than the Rally of the Regions tournament, which we played at the beginning of the year. But we have Haynes still here at home, obviously Petersburg this weekend. I know we got Craig after this weekend, so we traveled there. And then I believe Met after that will go. And then Petersburg is the last weekend right before regionals. So we'll play the weekend before regionals. We'll come home for a few hours and then off to Sitka, I think around the second week of March or
all right,
somewhere around there.
That's in Sitka. Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. Why do they have it in Sitka?
It's just always been that way. They rotate, you know, regional tournament, Sitka, okay. Juneau, Ketchikan. They've always done it like that.
So who all is in regionals? Is it just your conference or is Sitka playing too?
So, you know, it's changed quite a bit since at least, you know, I was in high school before when, you know, my dad was in high school at least. You know, everybody played everybody. There was no, you know, divisions, conferences, anything like that. Everybody played everybody. So they played Juneau, you know, East Anchorage, whoever. You know, when I was in high school, we were a 3A school, along with pretty much all these teams that are 2A now. So Metlakatla, Petersburg, Mount Edgecombe was 3A still then. But now, obviously, we have our 2A teams, us, Craig, Petersburg, Haynes, Metlakatla down here, and then two 3A schools in Southeast, which are Sitka and Mount Edgecombe. Okay. And then we have three 4A schools, Ketchikan, JDHS, and Thunder Mountain High School. So it's kind of those are all the schools anyway that go to the Region 5 tournament. And so it's a huge event, and you know, it always has been, and it gets this big build up. And then when you get there, you know, it's always packed, you know, fans are loud, people travel from everywhere. It's just a great experience overall. And for our division, basically the top two teams are the ones that make it to state. So they do it a little bit different. So, you know, they'll have a bye game for whoever has the best record. So say like last year, Metlakatla had the best record. They had a bye. And then us and Haynes played each other in the first round. So we beat Haynes and we played Metlakatla. Oh, yeah. And then we lost and you go down to the loser's bracket and you kind of have to fight your way back up. So Metlakatla, after they had won, that was the championship game. And they are an automatic bid to state. And then whoever works their way through the loser's bracket is the second bid to state. So, you know, we don't plan on being the loser's bracket, but that's just kind of how it works. So.
Okay. Thank you so much for explaining that to me. Okay. Yeah. So two 2A teams are going to go to state, and we'll mm-hmm. see who that is. Thank you. Then, you know what? Let's go to a short break, and we'll be back. I encourage all of you people that are listening, you have a chance to talk to Cody Angerman. So give us a ring. That number is 874-2345. All right, we are back. The time is 1:12. We have Cody Angerman in the studio today to talk about boys basketball. And you can call in if you want to. That number is 874-2345. Before we get back into what the guys are doing, Cody, tell all the people in Wrangell a little bit about yourself. I think everybody knows you pretty well, but...
Yeah, well, I was born and raised here, and, you know, obviously lived here for 18 years, and then I moved off to Colorado for a little bit, and then decided I wanted to move to Las Vegas and went to school there for a while. Mm-hmm. I lived in Las Vegas for, you know, 10 years, around there, 10, 11 years or something. And then decided to move back here. But, you know, growing up, You know, I was always around basketball. Basketball's always been a big thing, you know, not only in Wrangell, but around Southeast. And, you know, I had the opportunity to play for a great coach, and Coach Ray Stokes. And probably a lot of the reason, you know, I both am the person I am today and, you know, got into coaching now. So, yeah, that's kind of, in short, my life story, I guess.
I'm curious why you came back.
Living in, you know, Las Vegas is quite a ways away from here. And, you know, having, you know, my family here, you know, I didn't get to see everybody too often, and, you know, people just get older, you know, you know, as much as I loved Las Vegas, I loved living there. And a lot of people think you live in Vegas, you just like live on the strip or something, you know, they think like you live at the MGM, but really, you know, for everybody that's really spent some time there, you kind of stay in your own area around town, and you only go to the strip when, you know, friends or family are in town, and, oh, I'm in town, come on down to the strip. But the other part is you don't realize how many friends you have until you live in Las Vegas either, because all of a sudden you're getting calls like, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, hey, you want to come down the strip? But
Oh my gosh.
But I mean, I love it. And, you know, the funny thing is, and what I tell, you know, my players still is that, I've always kind of maintained, you know, an atmosphere and, just being around the basketball culture, no matter where I was really in my life. And when I left here, after high school, I decided I didn't really want to play basketball anymore. And then, you know, a few years down the line, at least maybe a year or so after, I guess, I graduated, I kind of just didn't play for about a year. I just wanted to be totally away from it. And then I kind of came back, started playing again. And then, you know, but what I tell my kids is that everybody in my life, really, that I've met, when I look back on it, and everybody who are still, you know, a lot of my good friends, I've met through basketball. And it's just weird how it works like that, and everything kind of comes full circle. You know, I mean, plenty of my friends are all, you know, have some affiliation or association with basketball, and it's a really cool thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you took over for Coach Ray Stokes. I mean, nobody in between you and the big guy. That's probably a little intimidating. Do you talk to him a lot?
Yeah, I mean, the best part is he's just really supportive about what I'm doing. You know, he's never really questions anything I do. He's always there if I, you know, have a question or, you know, whatever it is. But I think from his standpoint, it's kind of like, you know, I did this for a reason, and I'm stepping back, and I want you to do your own thing. You know, he's been to practice maybe once since I started, you know, and I've told him, you know, you're always welcome, come up whenever. But, you know, he came up one time, I think, to play Hank Pig, and that was about it. And I think it's just more or less like the thing, he doesn't really want anybody to think that he's coaching from the sideline or something, you know. But, you know, just kind of like internally in me, I think it's always kind of there, because I learned from him most of all. And, you know, he's always been supportive of me. And I think he just always saw something in me ever since I was a little kid. And I remember being, I can't remember, maybe second or third grade, and him telling me, like, you know, you're welcome to come shoot around in my practice anytime. And I still remember doing that. So, I mean, it's always been that support. And, you know, it's obviously more than just, you know, a coach, you know, or a, you know, teacher relationship. You know, it's really like they've always been like family to me. I mean, the Stokes family, him and his wife Valerie, have always been like that. So it's just, they're just great people, and it's awesome to still have them by my side, obviously.
Yeah. It's like, where would you be without basketball? Where would you be without these people that have influenced you in that, through that sport?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's like, I always tell people, I mean, went from being a, 5'7", 125-pound freshman, and getting thrown into this, mature basketball scene. So I understand where, younger kids are coming from. It's intimidating. Some kids come in fully grown and it's a little bit easier for them to step into that light a little bit. I know for myself, I was a short, skinny kid when I stepped in and it was kind of tough, and you just kind of have to take your beatings and just kind of learn from it. But I just know for a fact that, learning from under Coach Stokes, I never would have been, I don't think half the player that I was and have, any sort of success without his teachings and his coachings, And I mean, it was just, wonderful, and I'll never, regret anything that I ever did in high school, just because, it was just like, wow, this guy knows basketball and he knows how to get the best out of his players. And so that's kind of the part that I instill and that I still keep going from his culture, is that I want my players to know that, I'm just trying to get the best out of you, no matter how much I'm yelling at you or no matter how much I'm questioning, So that's my biggest thing there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's really touching to hear. I feel like it's important for everybody to have something that they love and that makes you more confident. And it's so important for high schoolers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, it's always been something in the back of my mind in my life, having Coach Stokes in my life. And, I feel like a very fortunate person as far as, supportive people in my life. My parents have always been super with me. My grandparents, my brothers. I mean, I feel really lucky in that aspect. Even after this last weekend of basketball, like I said, the first night went pretty well for us, even though we lost. And then the second night, I went back and watched game tape, and then I go to the second night, and it's kind of like you're telling your kids, like, I think we took some bad shots. And then it's kind of, and so you go into the second night, because I had so many people coming up to me after the game being like, wow, you guys take so many threes, or like, then that's probably the nicest way somebody put it. But I mean, they were kind of like, you took so many threes, you guys shot yourself out of the game. And so I go back and watch the tape, and I'm kind of like questioning myself, and like doubting, what it is that I'm doing. And then you go into the second night and you're telling your kids, like, we can't be taking those bad shots. We got to work the ball around and, this and that, which is true. But it's like, how do you tell kids, don't take your shots, but take your shots? You know what I mean? It's a really contradicting thing. And I think I went back and I kind of doubted myself a little bit. And it's probably the first time I've done that since I started coaching. And, the funny thing is, since we have our grocery stores open on Sunday, I was at the grocery store the next day, and I just out of nowhere, it's weird how this worked, but very coincidental, but I had somebody come up to me and they're like, I just want to let you know that I think you're doing a great job and you should never doubt yourself on what you're doing, And it was just, I didn't say anything. They just kind of came up and said that. And I was like, wow, that's, very nice thing of you to say, but it's true. I don't know if they saw it or what, but it kind of wasn't in my head that day. And somebody came up and just kind of, sometimes I need my esteem boosted too a little bit,
Yeah, you do. You're carrying the esteem of 20 plus boys.
Yeah.
Of your varsity boys, however many of them. Yeah, that's a tough gig. I'm wondering, have you coached before? Have you worked with that many kids at one time before?
I kind of, like I said, I mean, I've been around basketball enough to kind of have an idea. I had some friends in college that have, both played on different levels, played, whether it was professionally overseas or in the NBA. I have a good friend who did that. And then a lot of my friends that played at UNLV who are still good friends to this day. And then I had friends that were in like the management department of it. And they went off to help manage, some of like the G League basketball teams. I know one of my friends jumped around. He was helping out like doing, kind of camera crew stuff with the Celtics. And then some other ones went off and tried to do basketball, and then they came back to coaching. And so, you know, from my standpoint, it's like you don't really have to be the best basketball player to be a good coach. I mean, I've seen plenty of people that were excellent basketball players but didn't make great coaches, you know, and you know, that was my biggest thing coming into it, was like, how am I going to be at, you know, relating this to younger people? You know, it's easy enough for me to grab a basketball and show somebody, but it's harder to, you know, actually explain it to them without having to grab a ball. And so that's been the biggest learning curve for me, is just teaching them without, you know, physically showing them.
Yeah. And so this is your second year doing it. Tell me, like, how is the first year? How is this year different?
Well, the first year is obviously just learning all of the things, and, you know, just learning the ropes of everything and the traveling and all that. And it does kind of take its toll a little bit. And I know it's not, you know, you're not traveling every single week, but, you know, the way that we travel here is definitely different than, you know, being in a high school in California, for that matter. You know, when we went to Haines a couple weeks ago, you're jumping a plane from here to Juneau, and, you know, it overheaded Petersburg because it was so foggy, and then you're staying the night at the high school and then leaving the next morning at 6 a.m. to ferry to Haines and then play that day, and then, you know, the same thing back. And so learning those things, you know, and having all the kids around is, you know, sort of taxing sometimes. You know, more last year, though, because, you know, there's this weight of responsibility, obviously. It's like, wow, I'm taking, you know, 15 kids that are not mine, you know, really. And so,
yeah, you're not just the coach, you're the chaperone.
Yeah, you know, but... These kids, though, I mean, even last year, they're just amazing kids all around, though. And the easiest part about it is that they're so nice that it just makes everything that much easier. And you have these older kids that have been around for a little while that, you know, they show everybody, you know, all the younger guys what to do and what to expect and what's expected of them. And, you know, when we travel to these places, you know, Coach Gablehouse and I, we expect a lot, and I know Coach Brown does too, and so when we go on these trips, you know, the biggest thing is just, you know, really respect. And you know, there's a lot of adults around that you're interacting with, and teachers and athletic directors and principals and so on, and you know, the biggest thing is that we are always respectful. And, you know, I never have a problem with any of these kids, and that's been, you know, they've made it very, very easy as far as that goes. So, you know, and we have good times and we have bad times too, you know. I mean, they're still, no matter how you think about it, they're still teenage boys, and you know, there's times when they get a little crazy in a way, and so you have to kind of settle them down, I guess. So
yeah, I feel for you. I was a teacher in Korea for a good while. And
wow.
In Korea, they separate the boys and the girls.
Mm.
And it was like, I loved all my girls.
Yeah.
And then the boys, oh, they were a headache. It's tough. It's tough to work with them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm glad to hear that, you know, that they are being respectful when they're out, that they're having a good time together. Yeah, and that you enjoy being with them. That's cool.
Yeah, no, that's great. And, you know, I know Lori's the same way, and she has her girls, you know, on lock, and they, you know, anything that she says goes, that's the word, and you better listen to it. So, I mean, I know also this whole thing, these last 2 years we've been traveling with the girls, and so you obviously get to know, you know, the girls' team too, uh-huh, without really, you know, having to totally supervise them.
Yeah.
But, you know, and again, it's just the same thing. I mean, the kids these days, I don't know if they're just nicer than when I was in high school, but they seem to be a lot easier to take care of, probably. So
lucky you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're saying you were a hellraiser.
Not me so much. Maybe other people around me.
Yeah. Your peers.
Yes.
I'll take that. Cool. Then let's see. Let's go to a short break. We'll be back. And if you want to give a call, that number is 874-2345. All right, we are back. The time is 1:30, and we have Coach Cody Angerman in the studio today.
I'm still here.
Yep. If you want to give a call, that number is 874-2345. So before we wrap up our show, just give us a sense of, you know, you've got your JV boys, you've got your varsity boys. Where the team makeup right now?
Well, as I said earlier, it's still pretty early in the season. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'd like to think that, you know, most of these guys have been playing together since they were kids, first of all. You have some of the guys that have moved here from other places in high school. So, you know, they're sort of getting used to it. But, you know, I would say that, you know, they're gelling pretty well. You know, the question for me as a coach, it's always going to be, we have a ways to go, you know, because, you know, no matter how much and whatever happens, I don't think in my eyes you'll ever play the perfect game. You know, that's what you're shooting for and that's your goal. You know, and you have thoughts in your head of, you know, what it would be like to win this big game and you know, and losing's never fun, but, you know, with these guys, it's like, you know, I know defensively we've gotten much better, you know, and we play that zone and everybody knows we do it. And, you know, it's getting to the point now, I think, where other teams know that we're known for that now. And, you know, it'd be nice to get to the point to where we just switch things up and go man to man and do some other things defensively. But I do think, you know, kind of defensively we're almost there. Offensively, it's, you know, one of those things where, you know, you're always learning plays and you're always, you know, throwing things in your playbook. And, you know, with both varsity and JV, I mean, we have different plays, different things for different people. I mean, and it really, you know, who's in the game and who's playing and who you're playing against really dictates the plays you're going to run. And also, I mean, the defenses you're going to do too. So it's tough to get to the point that you picture it being, but, you know, obviously that's why practices, I mean, I can't remember what college coach, it might've been Dean Smith for North Carolina, but he had his practice schedules down to the very second. I mean, the minute that they started practice was just go, 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 one thing to the next, because it's just such a limited time. And it sounds like you're there for a long time, but really it's like you're cramming all this stuff in a short period of time. And so, you know, we try to make sure that we're fitting all that in with our players and, you know, cramming it in their heads, but also not trying to put too much on them. But they're doing a good job, and you know, I'm proud of where they're at so far, and we just have some more work to do to get there.
Absolutely. We'll keep on. And then give me a sense of, like, on your varsity team, how many are seniors, juniors, freshmen?
Let's see. I have Riley Blatchley, Jacob Hammer, Kellen Eagle, Stone Guggenbickler. You're putting me on the spot, but I know they're all seniors, you know, and then we have quite a few juniors, you know, Trevor Miller, Skylar Loftus, Austin Lopez, you know, Hank Volte's our manager and he's a junior.
Okay.
You know, really the freshman class this year is the one that's smaller. Let's see. I know I have Tyson Mesmer, Jake Eastaw, Ryan Rooney. So really those guys are still pretty young and I'm trying to develop them a little bit, but there's some talent there for sure. And you know, I know there's a good group of eighth graders coming up. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, another thing, there's always something to look forward to, you know, as far as what's, you know, the future look like too. So,
yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's good to hear that you have all those juniors there.
Yeah,
and even all the way down to the eighth graders. Yeah. What do they look like?
Right.
And, you know, before we go, I know we don't give enough credit to JV. So how has their season been going? What is their win-loss ratio right now?
Well, first, I kind of feel the same way, too. It's like you get, you know, I do quite a few of these after every game, and you talk about your varsity so much that you forget to talk about, you know, the younger guys in the JV. And this year has been, you know, really good as far as JVs. I don't know if we've lost a game yet. I mean, we've played Haynes and obviously this weekend with Matt. I'm looking back now. Craig.
Okay.
So there's been some J games. I don't think we've lost one yet. But, you know, which is it's promising, you know. But really what our JV program is more about is getting these guys on the floor, getting playing time, you know, because I still have guys that are young on the varsity team that, you know, just, you know, their talent is there varsity wise, you know, but really it's about getting them the playing time.
Yeah.
And again, one of those things about getting floor time for these kids is having, you know, whatever is going on in the game, you know, the score really dictates who's on the floor. And, you know, sometimes if you're not up 20, it's hard to get some of those younger guys out there, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And so, you know, JV time is super important as far as developing these players. And, you know, we are talking, you know, off the air about what people see on the weekends when games are happening. I mean, people see the 4 hours of game time or whatever it is. And you know, that's what, you know, shows them the big picture of what your basketball team is like. But the reality is that you have, you know, 3 hours of practice every single day with, you know, an hour and a half going to varsity and an hour and a half going to JV. And these kids work super hard, you know, and then you have sometimes where you have to make decisions, and what happens in practice is really what shows coaches what we're going to do for that weekend and who's going to play and, you know, what who's stepping it up or who's not doing as good. So, you know, I think me just getting it out there might be for those listeners something that you keep in mind, because it is one of those things that people don't see what happens in practice. And so they don't, you know, not that they don't know basketball, but they don't know the team as intimately as a coach per se.
Yeah. Well, and like, I can imagine you're, you know, you're a high school junior and you're practicing every day, every week, and then you get performance anxiety. You're like, it's just a totally different environment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you see it all the time. And you know, you see it with older guys. I mean, they get in this zone and they're so ready for the game. And then once tip-off happens, it's like mind erase. Like, you know, all the plays are gone. And you know, they're just running around with like a chicken with its head cut off. And you know, it is. And that's how it should be. I mean, your adrenaline should be going, and you should be ready to play. But you know, it's teaching these kids about focus, you know, and I think another thing I wanted to bring up, I guess, before you kick me off, is that you know, kind of our philosophy with coaching, and I think Coach Brown kind of is like this too. But a lot of this again stems from Coach Stokes. And was instilled in me was, you know, the fact that it's not all about basketball either. You know, I mean, these are, you know, we always try to emphasize that they're young student athletes. And when we say student athletes, it means that they're student first. And, you know, along with, you know, getting good grades and everything else, you know, these are the people that are going to be the future of our great country and, you know, our communities. And so, you know, we're always trying to give them, you know, life lessons wherever they might pop up, and tell them like, hey, you know, basketball is a really short period of time in a lot of people's lives. And unless you're going to go play professionally, which is a very, very slim chance. You know, I mean, it's just the honest truth is that it's very, very hard to make it in this sport. You know, you need to have other options and know that there's this huge life out there outside of whatever is happening here. You know, there's a whole world out there to see and there's other things to do. And so we try to make sure that these kids know that, that, you know, basketball, they're very fortunate, first of all, to be able to play on a team in a place where you don't get cut. You know, you're on the team. You know, we don't cut players. We allow everybody to play, and we try to develop whoever wants to put in the time and effort. But along with that, you know, we make sure that they know there's going to come, you know, the lectures and the disciplines and, you know, at least the best that we possibly can without overstepping boundaries too. So that's an important thing that we try to make happen in our basketball program.
Yeah. Well, that is, I mean, it's so good to hear that you have that philosophy going into it. When you're spending so much time with these kids, it takes a village to raise our kids.
Yeah, absolutely. It takes a village. Yeah, I mean, we're fortunate to be in Wrangell for sure. I mean, everybody that lives here that I know that I talk to, they absolutely love it. And being around Southeast and just being around basketball here again has opened my eyes so much about, you know, kind of what I didn't think about when I was younger. I mean, I've gone to the gold medal tournament in Juneau a few times since I've been here. I've obviously traveled around with the basketball team. I've watched basketball games since I've been back. And, you know, it's when you go to these communities, I mean, people really just gravitate towards basketball and its whole, the whole atmosphere. And really when it comes down to things, people just want to be around a good basketball game. I mean, it doesn't matter who's playing. It doesn't matter, you know, what the score is really. People just want to see good basketball. And Southeast, I think, does a very good job of bringing up young players and young talent, you know, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I'm talking about all the communities around Southeast. I mean, very, very lucky to be where we are, first of all, but to have, you know, the fans and these communities that support young student athletes and sports is just, you know, you go to these places, it's just awesome to see. I mean, one of my favorite places to go is Metlakatla, and the people over there are just wonderful. The culture that they have there is just amazing. They treat us, you know, with, you know, they treat you like you're superstars almost in a way. And it's just, it's awesome to be there. And, you know, you get elders on the sideline booing you, and it's just, you know, there's nothing like it, I don't think. And it's just, it's great to go over there and have that happen. It really is. You know, nobody wants to get booed, but it's like one of those things where you're like, wow, this is awesome. This is what basketball's about, you know? So
yeah, this is so real.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
That is cool. You've got a really big job on your hands, and it sounds like a lot of fun.
It's amazing. I mean, there's stories that I have, but I can't, you know, some of them I can't tell on the air, you know, because
they're obviously that good.
And, yeah, they're just that amazing. And you know, I'm saving them for, you know, not that this isn't a good time, but I'm saving them for the future.
Okay. Well, Cody, thank you so much for coming in. This has been a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been great. Thanks for having me. Hope to be back again.
Okay. I will take you up on that, and good luck.
Thanks.
All right. You've been listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. We'll be back next week with another guest. Peace out.